He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, hey, Time Magazine recently published a list of the 100 most significant figures in human history. Now, historians have been doing this sort of thing for generations, but what made this so unique and so special is that they decided to rate all the figures of history, not on how good they were or how bad they were, but how their name has stood the test of time, in the same way that Google rates web pages. They just took all the different opinions, all the different ideas, mushed them all together into a giant computer algorithm, and spit out the 100 most significant figures in human history. The approach is kind of fresh, but the names at the top of the list are going to sound really familiar. Number 5 on the list is Abraham Lincoln. Honest Abe freed the slaves, and he saved our country from self-destruction. There are more than 15,000 books written about Abraham Lincoln, second only to Jesus. Number 4 on the list is William Shakespeare. Now, not only is Bill Shakespeare the greatest writer in the history of the world, but he also invented, as much as anyone, the English language. He added 1,700 words to the English dictionary. Coming in number 3 on the list of most historically significant people is the prophet Muhammad. Now, you don't have to agree with the teachings of Muhammad to recognize that he has had an influence on the world. Number 2, any guesses? Napoleon Bonaparte. Some people think, wow, what a great general. Some people think, wow, what a wicked human being. But either way, Napoleon, his name has stood the test of time. Number 1 on the list of most significant person in human history, it's Jesus. Of course it's Jesus of Nazareth. What else were you expecting to hear on Easter sermon from the preacher other than Jesus is the most significant person in human history? Now, Christianity is the world's largest religion. Honest Abe had 15,000 books about him. Jesus had more books written about him. The teaching and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ has turned the world upside down. 2,000 years after he died on the cross, here we all are. Why? We want to hear about Jesus. We want to know this Jesus. Yale historian Yaroslav Pelikan puts it this way: regardless of what anyone may personally think or believe about him, Jesus of Nazareth has been the dominant figure in the history of Western culture for almost 20 centuries. It is from his birth that most of the human race dates its calendars. It is by his name that millions curse, and in his name that millions pray. It is somewhat gratifying that in this age of skepticism, in this age of doubt, that the undeniable, most significant person who has ever walked the face of the earth is still considered to be Jesus. But Jesus is different from everyone else on that list. Lincoln, Shakespeare, Muhammad, Napoleon, they're all dead. Jesus is alive. We are not merely celebrating another great historical figure on Easter Sunday. We are proclaiming that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who is risen from the grave. Now, scientists recently reopened the empty tomb, the tomb of Jesus Christ, under the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. This tomb has been closed for 200 years, but engineers and architects were granted rare access to the empty tomb. Why? Because it's been neglected so long, it was about to collapse. And when I say recently, it was open until about 3 weeks ago. The tomb was open. And you know what the scientists found when they opened up the tomb? It was still empty. Jesus wasn't there. Oh, yeah, they found some marble slabs from the 4th century when they built the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. But they didn't find any bones of Jesus our Savior. That's because he's not there. Now, we're not really sure that the Church of the Holy Sepulchre is actually built above the tomb of Jesus. Some people think that Jesus was actually buried a mile further out of town in a place called the Garden Tomb. We don't know for sure where Jesus was buried because for 300 years, no one cared where Jesus was buried. The disciples didn't build a monument in the honor of Jesus. No one bothered to lay flowers on the tomb of Jesus like you would for any other great historical figure. The disciples, the early Christians, just didn't care where Jesus had been dead for 3 days because they were more concerned with their relationship with the living Jesus, with the risen Jesus, with the Son of God who had conquered the grave. Now, we know exactly where Abraham Lincoln is buried. Anyone? Springfield, Illinois. We know exactly where Shakespeare is buried. Anyone? Stratford-upon-Avon. We know where the bones of Muhammad lie. It's in Medina under a great big mosque. If you're ever in Paris, go check out the mausoleum in honor of Napoleon. It's beautiful, they say. But you're not going to find Jesus in any grave. You're not going to find him under the dirt. Don't bother looking for Jesus among all the other dead figures of history because Jesus is alive. If you want to find Jesus for yourself, get out of the graveyard and look for Jesus among the living. Now, Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, as well as some other women, according to the Gospel of Luke, they went to the graveyard at dawn on Easter morning. They wanted to do something nice in the memory of Jesus. They wanted to cover him with perfume. They wanted to cover him in burial spices. This is what you do for a major historical figure. You want them to smell nice even in the grave. So they showed up ready to anoint him with all these beautiful things, but they had a little problem when they got to the graveyard. Jesus wasn't there. The tomb was already rolled away. They were able to walk right in to the tomb of Jesus. And when they got there, they were joined by 2 heavenly messengers, and these angels said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." Tombs are for dead people. Jesus is alive. Have you been looking for Jesus among the dead? Or have you been looking for Jesus among the living? Now, the women brought this news to the rest of the disciples, right? And the rest of the disciples thought it was nonsense. They thought it was an idle tale. They didn't believe the report of the women, except for Peter. He went running to the tomb to check it out for himself. And he bursts into the tomb, and he finds it just as the women had said. No Jesus, no corpse, no cadaver, no body was in there. All that Jesus found were the linen wrappings that they had covered the body of Jesus. Now, if there were a grave robber, why in the world would they bother to remove the mummy's wrappings before they took the body out of the grave? It doesn't make any sense. And so Peter walked away from the empty tomb, confused, the Gospel of Luke tells us. He didn't know what to believe when he left the graveyard. You see, the empty tomb really is compelling historical evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. In fact, we have as much historical evidence or even more historical evidence of the resurrection of Jesus, as many, many other things we know to be true. But we need more than the empty tomb to really understand Jesus. I mean, consider the women. They found the empty tomb, but it wasn't enough. They had to leave the graveyard in order to start a living, personal relationship with Jesus Christ once again. Or look at Peter. He was right there in the tomb, right there on Easter morning. He still didn't get it. He had to leave the graveyard before he could really begin a living relationship with Jesus Christ. Or look at the rest of the disciples. They never even went to the graveyard. They believed in Jesus when they developed a personal relationship with him. Or we know that more than 500 people saw Jesus risen from the grave. They didn't find him in the graveyard. They found him in a living, personal relationship. That's how we know Jesus to be true, that he really is the risen Savior. Because even today, we can be in personal relationship with Christ the Lord. To understand who Jesus is, you have to step out of the graveyard of history. If you treat Jesus like any other historical figure, you are going to make the same assumption about him that you do about the other 99 people on the top 100 list of historical figures in human history. You're gonna assume he's dead. Now, when you compare Jesus to Lincoln, you might say, well, he was wiser than Lincoln. When you compare Jesus to Shakespeare, you might say, well, the parables of Jesus, they're even better than those plays. When you compare Jesus to Muhammad, you might say, Jesus is the better moral teacher. That's all fine and good. A lot of agnostics have come to the same conclusion. A lot of atheists have come to the same conclusion that they like this historical Jesus even better than all the other characters in history. That's fine and good. But the gospel provokes us to move beyond this historical Jesus and to get to know the Son of God who lives with us today and wants to be in a personal relationship with you. Jesus was not just the greatest human being to ever walk the face of the earth. Jesus is also the Son of God. It is not enough to just ponder the historical of Jesus on Easter Sunday. No, we are invited to step out of the graveyard and to get to know this Jesus who is risen from the grave and alive in us today. Christian faith means stepping out of the graveyard and into new life. And that means following Jesus. It means worshiping Jesus. It means talking to Jesus in prayer. It means putting Jesus' teachings into action in our lives. It means constantly depending upon the mercy of Jesus. This is what it means to be in a relationship. Have you been in a relationship? A human relationship? Jesus wants that from you, only it's a saving relationship where you are pulled from the graveyard and into eternal life. Anyone can admire the historical Jesus, but the Easter message, the gospel message, is inviting us to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Now, modern Christians do not have the luxury of seeing Jesus face to face like they did right after the resurrection, but you shouldn't feel envious of those 500 people who actually saw the resurrected Jesus. They had a hard enough time believing their own eyes. Jesus told his skeptical friend Thomas, who said he was never going to believe. He said, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Jesus is talking about you. Jesus is talking about me. Jesus is talking about anyone who didn't need to have the face-to-face encounter to develop a personal relationship with Jesus. Instead of touching his wounded hands or his wounded side, Jesus has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit to draw us near to him. As Jesus explained to his disciples, it is for your good that I'm going away. Have you thought of it that way before? It is for your good that I'm going away, because when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Rather than seeing Jesus risen in the flesh, we have been given God's Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the breath of God, breathing in you, living in you, to lead you from admiring this historical figure to believing in him as your Savior and as your Lord. No one can say Jesus is Lord, says the Apostle Paul, without the Holy Spirit. If you have ever said in your life that Jesus is Lord, you've already taken the first step to a personal relationship with Jesus. But like any relationship, one step is not enough. Jesus keeps inviting you to step towards him and step towards him and step towards him, and to develop something that's meaningful and real and true. That's the invitation for you today. Jesus' last words before he ascended to heaven were, "I am with you always until the end of the age." All the other great figures in history are pushing up daisies right now, but the risen Jesus promises to be with you forever. All it takes is a little bit of faith, and you can begin your own friendship with Jesus. You can trust the Lord to fill your life with life. If you want to begin your own personal relationship with Jesus, please repeat after me. And if you have a relationship with Jesus, I'd still like you to repeat after me to affirm that you want to take another step closer. You want to get closer to your Savior on this Easter Sunday. That you don't want this to be some distant relationship in the past, but the most important relationship in your life. Would you pray with me now? As the Spirit leads you, speak after me. Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Thank you for giving your life on the cross to save me for my sins. Thank you for conquering the grave to bring new life to the world. Fill us with your Holy Spirit so the world might be changed with your love. Give us the faith to accept you as the Savior. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.